You are listening to a summary of Fishing for Fools, a book by George A. Akerlof and Robert J. Shiller.
Aside from the alarming claims that economists George A. Akerlof and Robert J. Shiller make about the drug approval process in the United States, the scams and lures they describe won't surprise you. They argue that traditional and behavioral economists overlook or severely downplay the impact that manipulators, swindlers, con artists, and outright liars have in the free market economy. These fishers distort markets and affect your decisions as a consumer, voter, patient, and investor. Akerlof and Shiller describe an entirely new paradigm for economics that might help you see the next big scam, so you can avoid or even profit from it. But they offer something more useful than horror stories, an overlooked but important factor to consider in economic theory. Though they may underestimate the thoughtfulness of the average American, when Nobel Prize-winning economists propose a new idea, you pay attention. Get Abstract recommends their analysis to economists, psychologists, and all those interested in protecting themselves from scams. Everybody plays the fool.
Exaggerations, tricks, and outright lies surround and confuse you. Hucksters, or fishers, attack your gullible nature, making you a fool. For psychological and emotional reasons, and sometimes because you lack information, you buy what you don't need, even when you know it might hurt you. Though conventional economics posits that people make only rational decisions in their own best interests, you and everyone else will make illogical choices that are detrimental to your health and finances. Knowing this, modern economists have formed the relatively new field of behavioral economics. It combines the logic of traditional economics with the impact of psychological biases to offer a more complete explanation of why you make the decisions you do. Yet behavioral economics misses a critical part of the equation. Fishers operate everywhere all the time, and they play a significant role in your decisions and behaviors in free markets. Traditional and behavioral economics fail to account for the way these scam artists distort markets.
Human nature.
Most people give in to temptation easily, so opportunists supply them with all the unnecessary or harmful things they want. For example, the cinnamon bun franchise Cinnabon uses sophisticated research to place its fattening, aromatic confections in places where people tend to give in to temptation. Health clubs know that their individual subscribers have resolved to lose weight and become fit. They entice users to sign annual contracts, knowing that the majority won't use them, and then make it difficult to cancel those memberships. Fishers make you want more and more. To illustrate, consider economist John Maynard Keynes's prediction of almost a century ago. Keynes said that by 2030, people would be 800% richer and would work only about 15 hours each week. Even accounting for inflation, today you are 6 times richer than your counterparts were in 1930. Because free markets invent needs to consume your additional wealth, you probably struggle to make ends meet. Your consumption today massively exceeds that of your forebears, and you work hard to feed your habits.
How fishing works.
Advertising, product placement, and sales pitches all strike at people's irrational impulses. From the beginning of advertising, sales pitches included stories meant to encourage you to make their narratives your own. Whether their goods or services help or hurt you matters little. Advertisers must sell or they lose their jobs, just as lawyers must represent the guilty or leave the profession. In the early 1900s, Albert Lasker and Claude Hopkins invented experimental and data-based advertising when they tested a soap for Palmolive. They gave away coupons for a free bar of soap and changed the pitch slightly for each series of coupons. They counted the redeemed coupons to see which message was the most effective. Today's advertisers use highly tested, specific words and phrases to entice you. In the 1950s, David Ogilvy, founder of the Ogilvy and Mather Ad Agency, refined Lasker's and Hopkins's data-driven, trial-and-error approach. Ogilvy came from Gallup polling, where he gained a deep appreciation for statistics. his data-driven methods still influence advertising and marketing.
President Barack Obama's 2012 campaign team combined Ogilvy's practices with big data to defeat a long-lasting conundrum that had befuddled campaigners for decades.
Typically, promotions that drive people to vote benefit the other party as much as they help the party doing the advertising. The Obama team pinpointed Democrats,
even in heavily Republican zip codes,
to get out only its targeted voters.
Phishing across industries.
As the law permits, and where human weaknesses and frailties exist, phishers will exploit you.
Where phishing occurs, honest leaders in ethical organizations have a hard time competing and staying afloat if they refuse to fish. No wonder ripoffs and scandals plague every industry.
Automobiles.
When you buy a car, dealers leverage trade-ins by diverting your attention from the high price you'll pay for your new auto to the bit more they'll give you for your old one.
They push extras and options you don't need and hide the costs of financing your vehicle.
Even savvy shoppers who get a fair deal often fall for higher-priced dealer servicing
habits they continue after their warranty ends. Car dealers make up to 50% of their profits from the most gullible 10% of buyers.
Politics.
Candidates for federal office in the United States spend millions. They craft their messages to voters, trading on populist narratives that play well with an uninformed and easily influenced electorate. At the same time, they quietly reassure their donors, the special interest groups, of their firm positions on the interest groups' favored issues, which the average voter doesn't understand.
Lobbyists, who vastly outnumber elected officials, ply their trade by exchanging valuable information with senators and representatives.
Their influence exceeds most people's imaginations. Several years ago, a few dozen companies hired a team of lobbyists to influence a deal that allowed them to repatriate their foreign earnings at exceptionally low tax rates. The companies spent $180 million on the lobbyists and got $46 billion in tax savings, a return on their investment of more than 25,000%.
Healthcare.
Healthcare charlatans and quacks with snake oil remedies fished in the 1800s and early 1900s. Their increasingly outrageous claims and often harmful potions led to the passage of the Pure Food and Drug Act in 1906. But regulation does not eliminate drug safety concerns. Pharmaceutical companies stack the regulatory game. They spend far more on lobbying than any other industry. They withhold research that doesn't support their medications. They choose drug trial subjects according to how well they expect them to react to their new concoctions. They select the placebo-controlled drug to make their new med look good by comparison. And they choose a country for drug trials where they can buy the results they seek.
Once pharmaceutical manufacturers obtain U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval for a drug, they gain the support of doctors by underwriting positive but questionable journal articles about the medicine and then deploying vast legions of pharmaceutical representatives to hawk its miracles.
In one case in the 2000s, pharma giant Merck used all these tactics to get approval and prescriptions for its painkiller Vioxx. Before Merck pulled the drug off the market, more than 26,000 Americans lost their lives as a result of taking it.
Alcohol and tobacco.
Everyone knows the dangers of cigarette smoking. In the 1950s, when reports revealed that smoking was harmful, the tobacco industry aggressively disputed the scientific findings.
Even after the U.S. Surgeon General declared in 1964 that smoking damages human health, the industry found scientists and doctors to challenge the official position and sow the seeds of doubt.
Compared to studies of smoking's impact, science offers far less research into the long-term effects of alcohol consumption. As with tobacco, efforts to stigmatize drinking by emphasizing the harm it does to others, for example, to victims of drunk drivers,
lowered alcohol consumption rates significantly.
High finance.
In the late 1980s and early 1990s, the U.S. government raised interest rates to battle inflation. Savings and loans, SNLs, found themselves underwater on their low-interest, long-term mortgages. Interest rates on money to finance their operations soared to more than 10%. Rather than letting the SNLs go bankrupt or bailing them out, the government deregulated the industry and changed the rules so SNLs could lend money to developers. Worse, lawmakers lifted the 5.5% ceiling on interest the SNLs could pay on deposits. They paid attractive interest rates for funds and lent massively to developers, who funneled billions back into SNL owners' pockets. The giant Ponzi scheme collapsed into the SNL crisis, the likely cause of the 1990-91 recession. Other notable financial fishes include the junk bond swindle Michael Milken orchestrated in the 1970s and 1980s. He discovered that low-rated corporate bonds had significantly outperformed high-grade bonds from 1900 to 1943. He convinced his firm to trade as many junk bonds as possible. Milken raised billions from junk bond sales to enable takeovers of large, respected corporations. In a typical takeover, the new owners cut the workforce, raided the pension fund, and replaced the management, so the newly acquired firm's stock would soar. This heightened market demand for Milken's junk bonds, pleased buyers and further fueled his scheme. Another sort of phishing, reputation mining, played a central role in the 2008 financial crisis. Over the course of almost 100 years, credit rating agencies in the U.S. had developed a strong reputation for independent analysis and unbiased ratings of corporate bonds. Investors and issuers depended on that impartiality. But revenue demands led the agencies to rely increasingly on fees from investment firms for grading securities. And agencies that set low ratings get less business. In the 2000s, mortgage-backed securities attracted many buyers. They couldn't know the quality of the mortgages behind the securities, so they relied on credit agencies, which awarded many mortgage-backed issues the highest rating, AAA. People based their decisions on that imprimatur, but the underlying mortgages soon tanked and the market imploded.
Fish-proofing.
If you proceed with caution, you can protect yourself from informational phishing that exploits your ignorance about a product, its quality, and how it compares to competitive products or services. Many sources provide what you need to know about what you buy. Governments deserve credit for protecting you from the worst phishing. Before you vote for less government and more free markets, consider your computer. You depend on it. But computer use exposes you to phishes and viruses, so you protect yourself. Similarly, free markets offer enormous benefits but render you vulnerable to considerable danger. You need a defense, and governments have traditionally provided it. Until recently, both Democratic and Republican administrations in the U.S. expanded the role of government in creating a safer and more equitable society. Both parties helped foster the New Deal, desegregation, civil rights, the Environmental Protection Agency, and Social Security. Leaders used to believe that free markets work but need government to police them, promote a level playing field, and smooth out gross disparities. From the time of President Ronald Reagan onward, however, the story morphed into government is the problem. The consequences include shrinking budgets for agencies that safeguard you. For example, the diminished capacity of the Securities and Exchange Commission contributed to allowing the 2008 financial crisis. Other factors hamper fishers. Good people start organizations that thwart them, like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD. Nonprofits like the Better Business Bureau and publications like Consumer Reports combat commercial fishers. National and international standards judge many of the items that people buy. Professions do a good job of monitoring themselves, and governments create laws and regulations to protect people from sellers' ill will and negligence. Websites explain likely computer or online scams to protect the gullible.
Phishing is forever.
All the regulations, better business bureaus and standards organizations in the world can't stop you from giving in to impulse, craving, and addiction. Only you can resist Fisher's temptations, swindles, incentives, and distractions.